Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We're in this for the long haul. We're not in this just for a couple of years of serving Jesus and then go on off to the next thing. We're in it to live the rest of our life for Him. And so a dryness, a lack of passion is to be expected. Those things are going to happen, and maybe they're just a test. Maybe that's all God's doing for you.
Sometimes in our walk with Christ, we walk through dry and desert times. Seasons where we may not feel much, where God might feel distant. But listen, Christian, that is okay. Keep walking, keep seeking. Take a good close look at your heart and don't replace the move of the Spirit with your emotions. With more out of Luke 7, 36 through 50, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Maybe Martha felt like she could anoint his feet for his burial at the end of the ministry because this woman had anointed the feet of Jesus in the beginning of his ministry. Maybe these two are connected and that Martha felt confident to anoint him for his death because somehow Martha knew, probably because she sat at his feet and learned from him, that he was going to die. And so Jesus said, leave her alone. What she's done for my death. And so she brings this oil. And then it says, she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now the elephant in the room is how awkward this would be, right? So here you have Rabbi sitting around a table. The sinful woman walks in, and let me just for a moment describe the way that they ate today, because if we think of their table in the middle of the room and these, you know, Pharisees kind of pulling up in this table and having the conversation, you're seeing things wrong. Their tables were lower to the ground. They would recline when they ate. So they would recline, I've heard, on their left side so that your right hand was free to take the bread and to take whatever it was and to eat it. But you reclined. Now, that's okay for younger people. I think about that today. If I reclined for an hour around a table like that, getting up would be like, oh, that's rough, right? Those of us who are older would be like, ah, maybe not even that old. But that's how they did it. That's how they ate their meals. That's how come they, in the Last Supper, it says that they reclined and that John laid back on the chest of Jesus and asked him a question. And this is what they would do in their culture. A lot of times we take our culture and we read it into their culture and come up with something that's inappropriate, all right? So this woman, and I, like I said, this is awkward. She comes in, she stands, Jesus' feet are behind him as he's reclining, and she stands behind him and she starts to weep. I take it she fell down on the ground on his feet and began to cry, and the tears just soaked his feet. And the first thing that she did was to wipe away the tears with her hair and then to begin to kiss his feet. And I think if I'm watching this happen, if I'm hanging out with a few pastor friends, And a woman comes in and does this, I'm probably reacting more like Simon than I am Jesus. I'm probably going, what's this woman doing? She's kissing his feet. She's anointing him with oil. This is awkward. I'm sure it was awkward, and I'm sure people thought this is entirely inappropriate. But this woman felt like she needed to come in and respond to Jesus in this way. And so it says, she kissed his feet and she anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. So this is his own thinking, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that's touching him, for she is a sinner. So he responds, unfortunately, in the way that I think I would respond, which is, I can't believe that he's letting this lady do it. Because I think if you know, prostitute came in and started wanting to cry on my feet and wipe them with her hair and kiss them, I'd be like, ah. Right? I mean, just being honest, right? And so he responds that way. But Jesus sees a sinner completely different than we see them. Our goal is to try to see people like Jesus sees them. I think when we do that, we have more compassion on them. We would have a lot more understanding for people who are struggling. When we walk by someone who is homeless, maybe talking to themselves, a little scary when you walk by them, maybe we would just think a little bit different about what might have taken place to get them into the position that they are. And so he's thinking, Simon is searching, Because he says, if this man were a prophet. So he's invited him over to his house to see if he could figure out more about Jesus and find out, is this guy a prophet? So he's a seeker as well. So you have this woman who's seeking forgiveness, and you have Simon that's seeking Jesus to see if he's more of a prophet. I don't know if he has any idea whether or not he's the Messiah, but he's at least seeking to see if he's a prophet. And now he comes to a conclusion. Nope. If this man were a prophet, he wouldn't let this woman touch him because she's a sinner. So Jesus responds to him in verse 40. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to ask you. And he said, Teacher, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. A denarii is a day's wages. So 500 denarii is about a year and a half's worth of wages. That's a lot of money. One of them owed a year and a half wages. The other owed 50, which is bad at math, 1/7 of a year's payment, something like that, right? Am I right? I think. Yeah, maybe not. The way you guys respond, So it's still a lot. It's not like it's a little bit, but it's a lot. And so he says, there's this debtor, and one owes him 500 denarii, the other owes him 50. And then verse 42, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them would love more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. When I was a youth pastor back in the early 80s, I had talking with a young man who was actually not one of the kids, just a young guy, probably my age. And he was talking about a dryness in his life, that he just didn't have a passion for God anymore. He had been emotional for God before, and he just said during worship, it had a dryness. He was in a desert time, and he wanted freshness brought into his life. And he said to me, maybe I should just go back in the world and sin some more, and then I'll come back and I'll really appreciate the forgiveness. I'm not sure that's the right application from this text. Whatever application you bring from this text, I'm not sure that's the right one. Desert times in our life, times of dryness to God, towards God, are normal and common in the believer's life. I've been a Christian 40-something years, 45, 46, 37 years, I guess, 47 years. And to keep a burning desire, passion for 47 years would almost be impossible. That there wouldn't be seasons where we wouldn't feel much, where there wouldn't be seasons when we're not making that good connection with God, that there wouldn't be things that would go up and down, because we're in this for the long haul. We're not in this just for a couple of years of serving Jesus and then go on off to the next thing. We're in it to live the rest of our life for Him. And so a dryness, a lack of passion is to be expected. Those things are going to happen. And maybe they're just a test. Maybe that's all God's doing for you. It's just to say, if you never feel anything again, and part of this problem is that we are mistaking emotion for the move of the Spirit. Sometimes worship happens and it's really powerful. There's just something that happened in the room and you really feel it. Then the message happens and you're like, oh man, God really spoke to me. I really felt it. And so you leave and you say, well, the Holy Spirit was really moving. Well, what do you mean? Did you respond emotionally to the music and the teaching, the Word of God? Or was it the Spirit of God? Can the Spirit of God move without you even feeling anything? Because your emotions should not be connected to the Spirit moving. If it happens, great. But your emotions don't mean anything. You say, what then? Should I just settle into a dryness in my faith? No, not at all. You bring that to God and you seek God and you call out to Him and you examine yourself. Because if there is a desert time, it might be a result of neglect in your life, or just something else becoming more important to you, you becoming more passionate about something else instead of God. And so you evaluate your life. That's good. But to finally say, I need to go out and sin more so I can get a greater passion for God, that's not at all what this is saying. We can find that freshness again as we just kind of recommit our lives to Christ and search for it. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen right away. I'm just saying it will. In my experience, it will come back again. There are ebb and flows, and that great desire and passion for the things of God will return again once you come through a difficult time. So his point is that this woman is going to love him much because she's had much sin forgiven. And so he goes on to say here then, let's see where we're at. Verse 45, Jesus responds. He says, I suppose it was this woman. And then he says, I entered your house, the middle of verse 44, by the way. Then he turned to the woman and said, do you see this woman? Just carrying on the conversation. I finally found where I was. So let's all go to verse 44 now, all right? Then he turned to the woman and said, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. And now he points out the lack in Simon's searching. He doesn't give Jesus the common courtesies that he would give anyone. Probably because he felt that he was on equal ground with Jesus. I don't need to wash his feet. It was common when people come into your house to have a wash basin there. If you had servants, they would wash someone's feet. If you didn't, then you would wash their feet. You would give them some perfume, some oil that you would anoint their hair or their head with. That would make them smell better. In the days of less showers, maybe you want to, you know, anoint people with oil when they come in your house. Woo, buddy, here's the anointing oil. It was common for them to kiss on the cheeks, kind of like in Europe today. But it was common for them to kiss on the cheeks. I mean, it was so common in their society to kiss one another like that, that the Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And I always, whenever I would cover that verse, you know what I talk about? Cultural differences. This is a cultural difference in our society. We're Americans. Well, men don't kiss each other, so don't come kissing me. All right? And I'm telling you, I've had that happen before. There's a guy who used to walk up on stage. I'd be talking, and he'd just reach out and kiss me in the cheek. You know? Hey, Pastor Ferroni, kiss me. Feel those whiskers on my chin. It's like, what are you doing? I learned to guard against him when he would come up. I literally would make some moves like, how are you doing? Good to see you. I'm going to give you a hug there, buddy. So we do in America. I'm kissing each other. I'm sure he's probably just honestly going, greet one another with a holy kiss, God. Okay, I'm just going to be obedient to your word. And I'm like, what are you doing? Cultural. So he didn't kiss Jesus when he came in. He didn't anoint his head. He didn't wash his feet. He just kind of wasn't all in his seeking. There was a lack in that. And this woman, of course, was just pouring her life out to him, obviously hearing of his forgiveness. And so in verse 46, he says, you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with a fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same forgives little. And so he's made this contrast between this woman who loves much and is really seeking God, and she's willing to weep at his feet and to kiss his feet, and you got Simon who's not willing to do anything. He's not willing to make any emotional connections at all. And so if you're seeking God, then you want to seek him with everything that you have. And then in verse 48, he said to her, your sins are forgiven you. Now this is again Jesus, the Son of Man, forgiving sins. He had the ability to be able to forgive sins, and he forgives sins. He's here today with the ability to be able to forgive your sins. This woman had sinned against many. Who knows who she had sinned against? You know, if she's a loose woman in the city and she's not a prostitute, she's sleeping with men, she's offended the wives of those that the husband she slept with. If she's a prostitute, the same thing is true. And Jesus forgives her of her sin. And Jesus is able to forgive you of all of your sin as well. And those who sat at the table with him began to say, who is this who even forgives sin? Because they didn't talk about forgiving sin in their day. And then verse 50, then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What we learn is that this is a saving event. Your faith has saved you, he says. Now, when we ask people to give their lives to Christ, we're like, raise your hand. You want to invite Jesus in? Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. And that's a saving experience. And we get used to doing the same thing all the time. We pastors get used to doing the same thing all the time and giving people a chance to have that saving experience. But I love that Jesus says, go in peace. He doesn't say, I want you to come following me around. She had made a real, genuine commitment to Christ. The Holy Spirit is now going to work in her. She's going to leave and she's going to walk closer with Christ. When you make a commitment to Christ, when I was 13 years old and I invited Jesus into my life, I didn't have anybody who did any extra stuff for me. Nobody went, you know what, I really want to disciple you. I really want to meet with you and talk to you about the Bible. I just found that God transformed me and I wanted to know the Bible. As a 13-year-old. I remember reading it and being massively confused. I shut my Bible one time for a couple of weeks because I just couldn't understand the passage. It was the one where Jesus says to the disciples, I tell you the truth, you're all not going to die here before you see the Son of Man coming in his glory. And I was like, these guys are all dead and Jesus hasn't come back. So I couldn't figure it out. It's funny, had I continued to read it, I would have read, the next few days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain and was transfigured in front of them, and his garment shone as a garment that has been newly and brightly whitened. They saw him in his glory. That's what he's talking about. But I had a hunger for God's word. I had a hunger to walk with him more. I had a hunger to know him more for what Christianity was. Even back in those days, I found Hosanna Tape Library. And if you guys remember that, and I would listen to J. Vernon McGee and Chuck Smith. That was my introduction to Chuck Smith because I wanted to learn more about God. And that's what happens when you commit your life to Christ. There's a transformation. You don't have to come to him with any kind of a work. You come to him, you pour yourself before him, you are saved. And then as you go your way, God begins to transform you and change you. And if you say, well, I gave my life to Christ a while back and I wasn't transformed. Well, I don't know what happened. But what I do know is that if you honestly give your heart to him today, that he will respond to you and he will move in your life. And I want to give you that opportunity here in a moment. So stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this passage that is really so rich for us, and help us to see people who are entangled, ensnared, enslaved by the sin that crouches at the door and its desire is for us. Help us to see them the way you see them, and help us to deal with sin in our own life in a way that we can be effective, so that that crouching sin, that entangling sin, that deceptive, destructive sin doesn't bring destruction into our lives. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today or you're watching online or even listening on the radio now, If you want to give your life to Christ, then I would love to see you respond today. So the Bible says that as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. That means you have to receive him. The Bible also says no one comes to the Son unless the Father first draws him. That means that if you are thinking about giving your life to the Lord today, it's because God's drawing you. It's not your idea. You're like, well, I want to come to him, but I don't know if he'll accept me. Well, he'll accept anyone. Anyone who will come. And we see that clearly in this passage. Any sin, anything that you have, if you're more like Simon or you're more like this woman, that forgiveness is for you if you would simply say, I want you in my life. I want to live for you. And then as you surrender yourself to him, the Bible says you will be born again. You will be changed. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away and behold, everything becomes new. So if you're here today and you would like to invite Christ into your life and begin to live for him, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed, just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now, lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and pray for you. God bless you all the way over to the right. God bless you there, right by the aisle. That's awesome. God bless you, ma'am, right down here in the middle. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. God bless you, sir. Back to the left, and both of you there up on the balcony. That's great. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. If God's speaking to you today, then respond today. You think, well, I'm going to respond some other time. But today is the day of salvation. God bless you underneath the balcony there. That's great. If you're online, you can respond as well. Out in the pavilion, I see you guys there. God bless you. Thanks for raising your hand so high. That's awesome. If you're watching online, then just say, I want you in my life. You can raise your hand if you want to. Or you can simply just say, I want your forgiveness. If you're listening on Reach Radio, we're giving people a chance to give their lives to Christ. Give your life to Christ now. You can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Very exciting. I told you that at 13, I made a commitment to Christ. I'll also tell you at 19, I came back. I walked away at 18. I left Christ. I walked away from him at 18. And God came after me and brought me back at 19. When I made that commitment again, there was a powerful transformation once again that took place in my life. So if by chance you're coming back to him now, God will work in your life, I believe, every bit as much as he did when you committed your life to him. Now we have a new believers table along the wall. We want to put a Bible in your hands so you can begin to read it. We've got a new believers packet which tells you what to do now that you've made a commitment to Christ. You could also send us a text to 94,000, and that is send ready for Jesus to 94,000. You're going to get back a link. Click on that link. That is our new believers card. Fill that out and people will get in touch with you. You could also send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story and there are people who will respond there. We just want to come alongside of you and help you in any way that we can as you now begin this new walk with Christ. All right? Would you guys raise your hand? The Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you men and women to raise your hand. And would you pray for people you know who don't know Christ? Would you pray for people who are struggling in their faith? Pray for people who need a healing. Pray for people that are just in the throes of life. If life is just hard for them. And I'm going to pray for you guys online and here while you pray for them. Father, I want to pray for all who are here, all who are watching and listening. Lord, I first of all, I just lift up those that need forgiveness for their sins now. As a believer, they're struggling with a stronghold. They find themselves returning to a sin in their lives like Samson. And they need your forgiveness. They need your love for their conviction. And any who are under condemnation, Lord, I pray that you would lift the condemnation. You didn't condemn this woman, but you forgave her. Lord, I pray that you would move. I pray for those that need a healing touch, that you would touch and heal. You've said we'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Lord, you also said that we are to pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we pray for your will as well. I pray for those that are struggling now with their faith. I pray that they would come to the place where they're standing strong, where they would not search for you casually but diligently and find that which they need to make their faith strong. I pray you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be witnesses filled by your Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I pray for those that are here that are brokenhearted. I pray for those that are just going having a tough time. They're a bruised reed. They're a smoldering flax. You've said you're close to the brokenhearted, and you won't put out a smoldering flax or break a bruised reed. Thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you use the liberty you have to seek him in ways that edify you. Find things that you're interested in when it comes to Christianity, the Bible, faith, living for Jesus. There's plenty out there to begin to occupy things you are truly interested in. And I believe that God will move in your life in an incredible way.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.